The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Hope things are going good where you are, and hope you had a great labor-free Labor Day weekend. A lot going on today. We've got a lot to get to, including some big stories happening here in this country with the China virus and some investigative work that we were doing over the weekend to get to the bottom of some of these crazy stories that are out there. And we're going to set the record straight for you. And we are going to expose some of the fake news that's been percolating out there across the fruited plain. We're also going to get into this horrible story in Afghanistan where Americans are now being held hostage by the Taliban. So we've got a couple of very special guests that are going to be talking about that, including Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee. He is going to be here to give us an update on what's happening there. Also, Corey Mills is leading a private team of military veterans to rescue people in Afghanistan, and he's going to be talking to us later on this hour of the program. He's actually boots on the ground in an area near Afghanistan, and we're gonna find out about those efforts as well. But I will say this, and we talked a lot about this on the program leading up to the U.S. troops pulling out of Afghanistan. And we warned people at the time that if there were any American citizens left, and as much as we appreciate and love and admire the sacrifices made by our allies in country in Afghanistan, the Afghani nationals, as much as we appreciate their great work and support, the reality is this is about getting American citizens out first. And unfortunately, as we now know, that was simply not the case. And the State Department, folks, this is beyond the mess that we even thought was possible. As a matter of fact, we believed at the time that at least most, if not all, the Americans would eventually get out. But that is simply not the case. And the State Department now telling us there are around 500 Americans. You have a school district in California saying we've got a couple of thousand kids still over there. So you have nobody knows what the numbers are. So let's just say that we have hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans still trapped in Afghanistan. These people are now hostages. And the Taliban will use these people to get whatever they want. But now we're getting word that six jetliners filled with people trying to escape, American citizens trying to escape, are being held on the tarmac in Afghanistan at various airports, and they are not being allowed to leave. Now, I got in trouble for saying this, but it bears repeating again. And there, for any of you woke millennials out there, you might want to cover your ears because you're about to get triggered. Here's what Biden should have done, and he should have done this from the outset. Joe Biden should have told these folks, picked up the phone, and called, what's the guy's name? Abdul. That's who President Trump was dealing with. Call up Abdul or Ahmed or whoever the heck is in charge over there and say, Abdul, look, here's the deal. Hope you're having a good day. Well, that's good. Abdul, here's the deal. You are either going to let our citizens leave your country, or we're going to start bombing your cities. And we'll start with your house first. That, as a matter of fact, that's what President Trump said on the program. He said when he talked to Abdul, he said, hey, look, you hurt our people. We're going to blow up your house first. Now, does this mean that we're going to go out there and blow up cities? Probably not. But you know what? Abdul and the Taliban, they don't know that. The only thing they respond to, the only thing these terrorist evil thugs respond to is brute force or the threat of it. But they didn't do that. Instead, they bowed down and capitulated and kissed the behind of the Taliban. And so now the Taliban know that Joe Biden will do whatever they want. I mean, this sorry excuse for a Secretary of State we've got. I mean, where's Hillary Clinton, for God's sakes? I mean, this guy, Antony Blinken, Hillary Clinton is more of a man than this guy is. Oh, that reminds me. Well, no, we'll get to that. We'll get to Mayor Pete Buttigieg in just a second. So Antony Blinken, just a few moments ago, now is coming to the realization, oh, wait a second, we made a mistake. We should have let the military in Afghanistan and then gotten everybody out. Cut number one, please.
Without personnel on the ground, we can't verify the accuracy of manifests, the identities of passengers, flight plans, or aviation security protocols. So this is a challenge.
Yeah, well, no kidding, it's a challenge. So these people, they're complete idiots. And there are Democrats, and we're hearing this from our sources on Capitol Hill. There are Democrats now that are just livid. They didn't realize that Joe Biden had the capacity to really blank this up. But Barack Hussein Obama did. He tried to warn him. So, no, yeah, folks, I'm telling you, it is a complete debacle. A complete debacle. And I hate to say this, but unfortunately, Americans will die in Afghanistan. And their blood is on Joe Biden's hands. Matter of fact, a new survey is just out this morning. That new survey says a majority of Americans believe the blood of the 13 service members who were killed by the Muslims in Afghanistan, their blood on the president's hands. A majority of Americans believe that Biden is responsible. So now you have a situation where Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State, says, well, we would love to get these Americans out, but many of them do not have the proper documentation. Oh, really? What about the thousands, the tens of thousands of Afghans that you've already flown out of the country? Tens of thousands of Afghans who did not have papers, they were not vetted, they were not vaccinated, and now some of them are actually being captured on American soil, and we are finding out that some of these people are, in fact, terrorists. So why is it and how is it possible that you've got an administration now that is more concerned about getting possible terrorists out of the country and into the mainstream while leaving behind American citizens? How is that possible? I'm telling you, folks, yeah, I'm not a big conspiracy guy. But it certainly is a little suspicious, don't you think, that the Biden administration would knowingly allow terrorists to board jetliners and get them to the United States of America? Even more frightening, a lot of them are not even going to America. They're flying into Mexico, and they're walking across the border. President Trump was right on this radio program last week. He said his grave concern is they're literally dumping terrorists in America. And he's right. And this is what's happening. The documentation is now there. But they're so concerned with making sure that American grandmas and grandpas are getting passports to get out of Afghanistan that they're turning a blind eye to the real danger, the clear and present danger in America. And this is what we're dealing with, folks. It is an ugly, ugly situation. And Antony Blinken, what a moron. So anyway, we're going to be taking your calls on this. But as it now stands, we do believe that the Biden administration is now holding up people, American citizens, from getting out of Afghanistan. And there's nobody there to help them. They are on their own. And God help all the women that are left over there. And the LGBT crowd, if they haven't already gone underground, they need to, because it is going to be a dangerous, dangerous time for them as well. All right, look, we've got a lot to talk about today. 901-260-5926. How do you get those people out, folks? You're president of the United States. What do you do to get those American people out of Afghanistan safely? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Listen up, patriots. One of the most radical plans to reshape the future of America is happening right now, and we need to stop it. President Biden's plan to pack the U.S. Supreme Court. Back in April, the president launched a special judicial commission to reform the court, but the real plan is to install four more liberal justices to gain an automatic majority and ensure favorable rulings for his radical policies. And once the court is packed, it will end the rule of law as we know it, which is exactly what happened in Venezuela and Argentina. Let's be clear. America is not a banana republic. Thankfully, First Liberty Institute is taking a stand. They've issued a letter to the commission asking them to reject this radical court-packing scheme, and they're not alone. Franklin Graham, Ed Meese, James Dobson, Tony Perkins, plus 60,000 others have joined their coalition. But we need 1 million, so add your name now. Go to SupremeCoup, that's COUP.com, to sign First Liberty's letter. That's SupremeCoup.com. God bless America. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Like I said, a lot going on here. And, of course, we're going to be talking about 9/11 throughout the week. This is the 20th anniversary of the Muslim terrorist attacks. And I'm curious to know, you, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, what are you teaching your kids about what happened on that day? I mean, just think about this. You're looking at young people who, let's say you're 7, 8 years old back in 2001. Even at that young age, the kids didn't really comprehend what was happening on that day. And I've been spending the past, I don't know, couple of weeks or so watching some new documentaries about that terrible, awful day. And I wonder what we're teaching kids in American public schools about what the Muslims did to us on that day. Now, there is a story out of Virginia. We have this up on the website. This is from the Commonwealth of Virginia, where teachers across the state were given a video seminar, a training video that urged them to avoid calling the 9/11 hijackers terrorists or killers. The video was produced by a Muslim professor at American University, Mahara Dekor. And she is very concerned about what teachers are and how teachers are addressing the story of what happened on September 11th, 2001. She said, quote, "We're not going to reproduce a false assumption of Muslim responsibility for 9/11. We're just going to begin right there and name that there is no responsibility, and therefore we're not going to use this space to try and untangle that." In other words, what she's saying is there were just some bad people who did something on 9/11 for no apparent reason. What was it? Pilot error? Is that what she's suggesting happened on 9/11? She also went on to tell teachers they need to do their very best to avoid promoting American exceptionalism during lessons about the 9/11 attacks. She said, quote, "We're not going to reproduce what's understood as American exceptionalism. this understanding that America is a land at the top of a beautiful mountain, that all the other countries, nations, and people are less than America. Well, let me stop right here. That's because all the other countries are less than America. That's why we have something called American exceptionalism. I don't see people running for the border trying to become a citizen of Zimbabwe or Somalia or Great Britain, for that matter. They're coming here to the United States of America. They're coming to our shores. I wrote about this in a book that came out in 2019, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. And what this woman is doing is nothing more than cancel culture at its most heinous. Look, tomorrow they're going to be taking down the statue of Robert E. Lee in Richmond, Virginia. Another example of this cancel culture, the rewriting of history. And just like the Muslim terrorist on 9/11 turned the towers and the Pentagon into a pile of burning rubble, that's exactly what the cancel culture mob is doing in America. So my question is, what would you like for your kids to know? What do you want your local public school to teach them about what happened on September 11th, 2001? The worst attack on American soil in American history. Now, the Virginia Department of Education is distancing itself from this report. They're saying, well, you know, we don't necessarily agree with the viewpoints of the professors. Okay, then why did you share it with all of the teachers in your state? Why did you do that? By the way, the University of Kansas in the heartland, the student government president and the entire student senate at the University of Kansas sent out a tweet, shared a tweet over the weekend, and we had this exclusively on our website, saying death to America. Now, all you folks out in Kansas, your tax dollars are paying for that. You've got young people on American campuses shouting death to America. And it doesn't matter if they're doing it literally in the streets or on social media, they're still chanting death to America. We've raised a generation in Barack Hussein Obama's world. We raised a generation of young people who were taught to hate our nation. They were taught to hate our values. They were taught to believe that we were responsible for what happened on 9/11. Well, I know we have a lot of homeschoolers that listen to this program, and I want you to hear it from me. This is what happened on September 11th, 2001. This is the unvarnished truth. That was the day that Muslims waged jihad on American soil and killed 3,000 of our fellow countrymen in the name of the religion of peace. They want to destroy Western civilization. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to fly jetliners not only into the World Trade Center towers, but also into the Pentagon. They also wanted to fly a jetliner into the U.S. Capitol building. But fortunately, as we now know, a group of patriots on board United Flight 93 got together. They did the American thing. They took a vote, and they decided, the men on that plane decided they were going to take back the jetliner from the Muslims. They knew what was about to happen. They had been on the phones talking to their loved ones. They knew what was about to happen. And those American citizens knew that if they did not take action, that many thousands of other people would die on the ground that day. So they literally sacrificed their lives so that others might be free. Had they not done that, the U.S. Capitol building would have been a smoldering heap of ruin. But this was the day that Americans, and watching all the coverage, hours of coverage over the past couple of weeks, you know what I saw? I saw people putting aside their political differences, the white man, the black man, the brown man. We were all united. We were helping each other come out of the rubble. We were helping each other escape from the danger. There were others that were going into the danger zone that never came out alive. They didn't have to do that, but that was their job. That's what they were called to do. We were united on that day. And in the days afterwards, we made great sacrifices so that our children and the children of the 9/11 generation would breathe free American air. We cannot forget about that, folks. And we've got to teach that lesson in our public schools. We can never forget what happened on that. We just can't. We cannot forget about what happened on 9/11. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number, 901-260-5926. We got some great stories for you folks. Check those out over at toddstearns.com. We'll be right back, America.
I've been trying my very best to eat healthier lately, but it's been hard. I mean, most of the food out there that's healthy is not exactly tasty. But then a buddy of mine said, Todd, you gotta try Uprising Food. They make incredible bread and incredible freedom chips, and they're all very healthy and incredibly tasty. And folks, my buddy was not kidding. Uprising Food made fiber delicious. All of their products are baked with real superfood ingredients like almonds, apple cider vinegar, egg whites, and olive oil. And they've absolutely nailed the test factor. You got to try the Freedom Chips. Go to uprisingfood.com. Use the code Todd to get $10 off the starter bundle. It's kind of like a mini trip to the grocery store, minus all the unhealthy distractions. And by the way, they ship directly to your door. That's uprisingfood.com. Use my code Todd, and you're going to get $10 off your order. That's uprisingfood.com. Use the promo code Todd.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Did you have a good weekend? I'm telling you. We went to a big football game here in Memphis, Tennessee, University of Memphis, and Grace Baker was out there, went, did a little bit of tailgating and had some burgers and hot dogs, and it was, I got to tell you, it was so refreshing to see thousands and thousands of people. Nobody was wearing a face mask. Nobody was bothered or worried about socially distancing themselves. They were just having a good old time. And now Dr. Fauci is out there, and he's saying, shame on all of you people. Shame on you for getting out there and going to a football game this weekend. You are going to be responsible for killing many, many people. That's what Dr. Fauci has to say. Over, I mean, really, I'm telling you, this is where it's all going. By the way, did you know that over in Australia right now, where people are literally fighting police in the streets, fighting for their freedom, they are literally quarantining people in government housing areas. I mean, they basically created these quarantine zones. Never seen anything like this. But that's what they're doing over in Australia right now. Now, there was an interesting story that came out over the weekend. I want to ask you a question about this. Grace Baker, turn your microphone on. Grace Baker, the executive producer of the Todd Stearns radio program.
Yes.
This is week number what, three now?
Two.
Two. Wow. Seems like an eternity.
Oh, no.
So, Grace, what would you do if I, you know, there's been a lot of talk over a drug called ivermectin. And it is they're calling it the horse pill drug.
Or the dewormer.
The horse deworming drug.
Yes.
All right. So what would you do? That's how they're describing it in the mainstream media. I mean, when you hear that story, you're like, what kind of an idiot would go down to the hardware store
or
Tractor Supply and get that?
Exactly. It'd be like if I took Merlot's heart guard for the month. Why would I do that?
Why would you do that?
That's for dogs.
It's outrageous.
Exactly.
So here I am, and I was reading up on all of this, and I got to thinking about something. I want to ask you a question, Grace Baker. What would you do if you found out that I, your host, was knowingly taking rat poison because I knew it could help my heart? What would you say to that?
I would say you're not a doctor and you're crazy.
I'm nuts, right?
Yeah.
How dare Todd
rat
start?
Rat poison. How, kill you.
Todd, what are you doing? I got to have a paycheck. What are you doing, trying to
exactly.
kill yourself? I mean, come on.
Important.
Well, back in the 1950s, Grace Baker, President Eisenhower had a bad heart. He had a heart attack. And there was a new experimental drug that was not even out there for general use yet. And it was something called Warfarin. Now, Warfarin is a drug. If you take it, it will unclot your blood, and it basically thins your blood, is what it does. And so they gave it to President Eisenhower. He was the very first person in American history to get this drug, and it helped him recover from this heart attack. Now, what's interesting is I have to take this same drug every day. You know, back in 2005, I had to have open heart surgery. I received a mechanical aortic valve. And as one of the side effects, when you have a mechanical device in your body, blood will typically clot to that, and you risk having a stroke if one of those clots breaks off. So I have to take this medicine every single day to make sure that my blood is very thin, which is why, you know, I have to be very careful if I'm shaving or something like that, because, you know, you don't want to bleed out, you know, with a Bic razor. So you can't do that. So what's interesting is that Warfarin is, in fact, rat poison.
Oh.
That's what it is.
Oh.
So I have to take rat poison. So, again, it's I mean, look, and this is the thing. When I saw these initial reports coming out about ivermectin, I thought, who in the world would take something like that meant for a horse?
Exactly.
But you know what, Grace Baker? It's all part of the fake news establishment. It's all part of the fake narrative surrounding the China virus, because ivermectin is actually an FDA-approved drug meant for both humans and animals.
It all makes sense now.
Of course it does. So it is actually, it is a viable medicine used, and if you use it correctly, you're going to be okay. But if you go out there and you're going down to the tractor supply and you're getting your dose of ivermectin that's meant for your horse, yeah, you're probably going to keel over.
Yeah, probably.
So don't be stupid. But the whole point of it is very simple, ladies and gentlemen, and this is very simple. And just hear me out. What the mainstream media is doing here is criminal. It is absolutely criminal. They know what they're doing. And they're trying to convince all of us that if you take ivermectin, that makes you a horrible person or some sort of an idiot, when in fact, the truth of the matter is it is an FDA-approved drug that they have been using to treat people for many, many years. But just like Warfarin, imagine instead of saying, okay, well, this is a drug that's going to help thin your blood, you've got the mainstream media out there saying, oh, this is rat poison. President Eisenhower is taking rat poison. What's wrong with that man? Rolling Stone picked up a story from television station KFOR out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And the story was quite compelling. A doctor told a local news station, KFOR, that hospitals were being overrun from patients overdosing on ivermectin. And that resulted in other patients having to wait for treatment. That is a horrifying claim. The doctor said it was so bad that gunshot victims were being neglected. Quote, the ERs are so backed up that gunshot victims were having hard times getting to facilities where they can get care and be treated. This is Dr. Jason McElyea. The story appeared on KFOR, then it was shared by many, including Rachel Maddow of MSDNC. Quote, patients overdosing on ivermectin backing up rural Oklahoma hospitals, ambulances. The scariest one I've heard of and seen is people coming in with vision loss. I can't see. I took horse deworming medicine. I mean, that was the story that was out there. And again, it's not just the local NBC affiliate in Oklahoma City. Now you've got MSDNC, and now you have Rolling Stone reporting this horrible, horrible story. It was also shared by New York Daily News and Newsweek and The Guardian. Just about everybody in America picked up on this story. But there's just one big problem with all of this story, ladies and gentlemen. None of it's true. It was all made up. It was all make-believe. As a matter of fact, the hospital, Northeastern Hospital System, had to come out and issue a statement. First of all, the guy had not even worked at the hospital for 2 months. And by the way, the hospital, you want to know how many ivermectin overdoses the hospital treated? Zero, folks. Zero cases. The hospital system there said that patients are not being turned away for any emergency care, in contrast to all the reports. Quote, all patients who have visited our emergency room have received medical attention as appropriate. Our hospital has not had to turn any patients away seeking emergency care. We want to reassure our community that our staff is working hard to provide quality health care to all patients. Rolling Stone later published an update to the story. But the fact of the matter is the whole story should have been retracted because it wasn't true. It was make-believe. And now the doctor's gone MIA. And by the way, you know who else has not retracted the story? Rachel Maddow. Nor has KFOR, the television station in Oklahoma City. By the way, we reached out to them and asked if they had any inclination of retracting the story, and they have yet to respond. So that's what we're dealing with there. And then, to make matters worse, the Associated Press had to issue a retraction for a story they did. They said that originally they said 70% of the overdoses in Mississippi were caused by ivermectin. But now that story turns out not to be true as well. And the Associated Press is having to issue a retraction. Again, this is from Reason.com. Robbie Sove is the reporter. And they lay all of this out. And it's not just Rolling Stone, and it's not just the Associated Press, but there is an effort by the mainstream media all over this country to try and convince you that something's going on that is not going on. That's all this is. Now, the Associated Press, I want to read this to you. The Associated Press recently reported that 70% of all the calls to Mississippi's poison hotline were from people who had taken ivermectin. 70%. Folks, that is a massive number. But it turned out not to be true. You want to know what the actual number was? 2%. 2%. Now, how do you go from 70% of the calls down to 2% of the calls? Folks, I know the mainstream media is screwed up. I know they're a bunch of morons. I know they're progressives. I know they hate America. But can I just say something here? They can't be that stupid. This is all intentional. Let me give you an example of what's happening in our community. And maybe this is happening in your neck of the woods as well. But in Memphis, Tennessee, they've been telling us for weeks now the hospitals were overrun. They were running out of space. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where they're going to put all the people. They called in the National Guard. Folks, not a single person was turned away from a hospital in Memphis. Not a one. Memphis, Tennessee, 1.3 million people. They actually turned the old newspaper building, a massive building, into an emergency triage. Not a single person was treated at that emergency triage. You know why? Because it was not as bad as the mainstream media has been reporting. All right, look, we're going to take a break here. We're going to open up the phone. I'm curious, are you buying into this? Are you starting to see what the mainstream media is up to here? They are trying to convince you that we are on the verge of another apocalypse. Now, the question is, how many of our fellow citizens are going to buy into this nonsense? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
My friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on the Giza sheet, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets. You receive a set for as low as $49.99. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS. All right, folks, you got to do a little bit of digging here, but when you do the digging, you will be able to get the information you're looking for. And I want to share some stats with you, and I've got this up on the Twitter feed. This is from Harvard University, so you can take it for what it's worth, but this is from Harvard. Now, the CDC, back in, between September of 2020 and January of 2021, and that's flu season, okay? That's the predominant flu season. The CDC recorded 1,316 cases of flu, positive cases of the flu. That's, again, from September 2020 to January of 2021. The previous year, they had 130,000 cases of the flu. So how do you go from 130,000 cases of the flu down to 1,300 cases of the flu? Unless, ladies and gentlemen, they're counting most of the China virus cases as the common flu. Just something to think about here. All right, let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. I want to go to Matt, Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening to us on the live stream, wants to wait on that Rolling Stone article. Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, how's it going? I just wanted to point out on the Rolling Stone article that the photo that they put out in the ad or whatever, it shows all of them waiting in line with coats. Now, living in Tulsa, it's 90 to 100 degrees the last few weeks, so I highly doubt anyone's waiting out there in their winter coats.
Now that is a fascinating point here, and we understand they pulled the photo from some other event that had nothing to do with ivermectin.
Maybe they were using the coats to hide the gunshot wounds, hold the blood in, or something.
It's a fair point. Matt, are you buying into any of this? Does it make any sense to you?
No, not at all. Not at all. We actually have a local group here that I've helped organize, and we try to educate people and get senators and stuff that are standing and fighting against this stuff. So I haven't bought into it since day one.
Well, now there's a new variant that's coming out. They announced earlier today. I think people don't understand, Matt, that this entire thing is designed to last forever. That's the plan here.
They're probably using, how they name hurricanes. So they'll probably just come up with a new name every, month or so with a new variant.
Oh, that's a good thought. That's a good thought. So we're on D for Delta. So I'm not sure, Earl. What are we gonna?
We're gonna take a wager on E.
We may as that may not be a bad idea. Matt, good call. Thanks for weighing in here and give us a holler back. I like that. Matt's got some good advice there. Let's go to Dennis in Arkansas, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Dennis. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just want to tell you that. I work at a dog kennel. If you look at the vast majority of the very popular wormers out there for dogs, they have ivermectin as one of the main ingredients. At the dog kennel that I work at, we use the cattle and swine wormer for our dogs. And because of investigation and knowledge of the dogs, we know how much to give them. And I, as a preventative, will admit, I went ahead and took the ivermectin with the dosage that the World Health Organization recommended. Like they were saying that many countries were using ivermectin, and they recommended that you take it for 3 days.
So you how much of a dosage did you take? How did you know how much to give yourself?
Because, like I said, the knowledge of already being a dog trainer and warming dogs, and the knowledge of that the dogs are, almost every popular wormer out there has ivermectin.
How did you get a prescription? Did you write yourself a prescription, or is it over the counter?
We got the cattle and wine wormer that you were talking about that you get at Tractor Supply, etc.
Jesus. So how are you feeling? You're not like, are you?
What I was going to tell you. I took it for 3 days. I never had, the runs. I never had a stomach ache. I never had a headache. It never bothered me at all.
You're not like barking at the moon at like 3 o'clock in the morning or anything, are you there, Dennis?
Not so far.
All right. That's good. Look, I got to tell you, I would recommend consulting with your doctor and seeing what they have to say. But, are they saying this is a preventative, that this should keep you from getting the China virus?
Well, that's what the World Health Organization just came out with a recent thing, like 2 weeks ago.
Well, that is true, and they did come out with that. So it's, what it is. I think there's a lot of confusion out there. Dennis, appreciate the call. Good luck to you. Look, my recommendation stays the same. Talk to your doctor before you start taking any medicine, because you don't want to be, barking at the moon or anything. So, but Dennis sounded pretty good, and he still has his vision, his eyesight. That's a good thing as well. All right, we got to take a break. Wow. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back, America.
I'm sure I'm not the only one who's noticed it, but the state of our great nation has changed, and with it, so has the world's rock-solid confidence in the U.S. dollar. Thanks to our government's out-of-control spending, many believe we will see dark days ahead for the dollar. And that's why now more than ever, I recommend you diversify with gold and silver. And the only company I recommend is American Hartford Gold. They sell physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA, and they make it so easy. They are the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. And if you call them right now, they're going to give you up to $1,500 of free silver on your first order. So don't wait. Call them right now, folks. Call 855-913-1133. That's 855-913-1133. Or text Todd to 65532. That's 855-913-1133. Or text Todd to 65532.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Wow, we've got a lot going on this hour of the program. An honor to have you with us. By the way, just a word of advice here. If you ever find yourself at a Waffle House, and especially if it's after hours, if you're ever at a Waffle House, never, ever pick a fight with the fry cook. With the guy who is he's making your hash browns. He's doing this scattered, covered, and smothered. We've got a great video up from Atlanta, Georgia. Actually, it's Buford, Georgia. I suspect our listeners at WDUN know exactly where Buford is. There's a Waffle House there, and there was a huge fight going on. A huge fight going down at the Waffle House, and we've got it all on video. And I got to tell you, by and large, the line cooks at the Waffle House could very well be mixed martial arts participants. I mean, these guys are the real deal. They will lay you out. Honest to goodness, it's as if Chuck Norris is the vice president of MMA at Waffle House. Anyway, it was a pretty nasty fight. There was also a big fight in the Grace Baker, you were at the University of Memphis football game.
I just went to the, I went to the tailgate.
Yes.
And then I went home to watch the game, and then I realized you couldn't watch the game on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
What was that all about?
Well, of course you can watch. It's way more fun to be in person for all of it.
Yeah, I was tired, had a lot of stuff to do.
Yes.
I really wanted to go and get the Hoppers, great friends of ours. They host a weekend show, Chet and Sherry Hopper. And Dr. Hopper, by the way, she's a professor at Liberty University.
Yes.
And so anyway, they had a big tailgate bash, invited us all over.
Oh, yeah, it was a blast.
But there was a huge fight in the stands.
Apparently. But I didn't witness it myself.
Well, I was wondering. When I first heard about it, I thought, oh, boy, I hope none of our staff were involved.
Oh, no. We were at the other end of the stadium, I'm pretty sure.
Some guy stepped on another guy's boot.
I don't know.
And that led to fisticuffs.
Yeah, it looked like a bunch of just people. Who knows? I'm sure they weren't of their right minds at the time.
Clearly, yes. But you know how that goes. It is what it is.
But the players did not get into a fight, just the fans.
And look, I got to tell you, though, one guy got just cold cocked. Boom, he was down. Down
was
for the count. All right, there you go. So all that to say, Dr. Fauci says shame on all of us because we're all going to like lead to the spreading of the new variant because we all went to football games over the weekend. Twyla Braze, or rather, this is a story out of Florida from Twyla Braze. A doctor in South Florida says she will no longer see patients for in-person visits if they're not vaccinated. Dr. Linda Maricini says she's more than happy to converse with you via telemedicine, but she's not going to let you into her office. She says, I understand that people are free to choose, but to me, it's a problem when it affects other people. Okay, so she's just going to turn away patients who are no longer or who are refusing to be vaccinated. There's another story we've got up on our website, toddstearns.com. Now, this is a fascinating story. I want to take a brief break from the China virus for just a moment. So Pete Buttigieg is the Secretary of Potholes for the Biden administration. And Pete Buttigieg, the only reason he's famous or popular is because he's a gay guy and he got married to a dude. And what is the guy's name, the husband's name? Is it Chastity? No, that's not it. Chasen. I don't know. Very confusing. C-H-A-S-T-E-N. It's a millennial name. Chasten is the guy's name. Thank you. So, Grace, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, being a woman. And I'm not...
Just because I'm a woman?
Pretty much, yeah. On this.
That's all I'm good for around here.
So, Mr. Buttigieg, is that how they go?
Oh, gosh.
Is that the last name?
I guess we'll just roll with it.
Mr. and Mr. Buttigieg just announced they were going to have a baby. And so I'm like, all right, you know, if that's their truth, you know, all right, we can go for that.
You do you, boo-boo.
We can go for that. So anyway, they became parents. They gave birth over the weekend. And so, Grace, it's the photograph that gets me, okay?
I saw this
You know what I'm talking about here.
Oh, yes.
So the two men, do we call them birthing parents?
I guess we have to in this scenario. I don't know what else to say.
So I'm going to describe the photo, and you can tell me if I'm off base here. The photo, which is a black and white photo, of the two men in bed with their twins, Penelope and Joseph.
What?
Those are the twins, all right?
Okay.
So they're in there, and they've got hospital admission bracelets on in the hospital room, in the hospital bed, as if, and maybe it's just me here, but the photograph implies they were the ones who gave birth.
Yeah, that's totally incorrect, but okay.
But is that what that photo implies?
Yes, it does. And you know what the crazy thing is? So many people are not allowed to go in hospital rooms right now.
Exactly.
And it's like what they were allowed, and they're not, you know, related by blood or anything like that. I mean, I've heard of cases where husbands aren't allowed to go in the room when their wife's giving birth, and I'm like, that's terrible.
The fact that
they staged this, that means they must have kicked the actual woman who birthed the baby out of the bed.
Who got left out?
That's really. And, you know, I can't speak from experience, but from what I've been told, you're not exactly very comfortable after having a kid. So, and let alone two.
Look, I don't know how long the guys were in labor, but they look pretty darn good. I mean, the hair's perfect. You know, they got the t-shirts. I mean, you know. Well, it doesn't even look like. I mean, I don't know, Mayor. It looks like the Secretary Pete. It looks as though he's got like a hospital like, you know, kind of top on. Or maybe not. It's hard to tell with that photograph. The whole thing is freaky. But I wanted to know which one was the birth mother. That's what, or did they had twins, so maybe they each popped a kid out.
I mean, anything's possible.
What about the birth mother?
That's what I'm saying.
That's all. I'm catching, you know what, that Starnes, she's just a homophobe. Chanson's a beautiful man. He looks wonderful. He looks fabulous after giving birth. Fabulous.
Except he didn't give birth.
But he didn't give birth. There's a mother.
They're not wearing masks, and they're in the hospital.
Nobody's wearing a mask.
There's a lot of wrong with this picture,
They're breathing their diseased breath onto the newborns. I mean, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on here, but there's also a lot of culture war crap going on here.
Oh, there's a lot.
Because they want you to think, that's the thing, Grace, they want you to think these two men gave birth to those babies.
But you know what's amusing, Todd? Now with the new Texas heartbeat bill, it's all about women's rights. What happened to the birthing people? These are the questions that keep me up at night.
Here's my concern. No. I'm just glad that's the only photograph we have, because there could have been chest feeding involved.
Oh, gosh, Todd.
I'm just saying.
Just
I'm
stop.
Just saying.
Just Grace. Stop.
I'm just saying.
I don't need that. It's too early for all that.
901-260-5926. That's our telephone number. 901-260-5926. It does make you wonder, again, how they were allowed to be in the hospital together. They were not giving birth. There was clearly a woman that was giving birth to the children. And why is it they were in a hospital room together if they were not admitted? So there's a lot going on there, and I don't like it. Because again, it may be their truth, but it's not the reality of the situation. We got the photo on our website, toddstarnes.com, and I would appreciate you checking that out. And maybe I'm off my rocker here, but there's just something really weird, about that story. So there you go. Mayor Pete, now Secretary of Potholes, given birth. 901-260-5926, that is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Before we go to break, so Jason Miller, our good friend, been on the program, comes on every couple of weeks or so, down in Brazil for CPAC Brazil, getting on board the airplane, and the guy was pulled off. He and his team were held by Brazilian authorities for about 3 hours, and they were questioned. We don't know many more details other than they have now been released and hopefully are getting the heck out of there. What a mess. What a mess. All right, we got to take a break here. We're going to the phones. Also, an update on this story out of the University of Kansas and another doctor who decided to dump her pastor as a patient. We'll tell you about that as well. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
You know, folks, now more than ever, it is so important to support companies and organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile, they not only share our beliefs, but they're actually doing something about it. America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and they donate a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes that you care about. If you switch to Patriot Mobile right now, use the promo code Todd. You're going to get free activation and a free gift. Veterans and first responders are going to save even more money. And switching is very easy. All you have to do, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, or you can call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Now, I just received a text message in the break, And this is pretty disturbing information, but you need to hear about this. So Texas, as you know, is about to put into effect a law that will ban abortion after you can hear or detect the baby's heartbeat. There is now an abortion clinic in Texas that has openly bragged about this. And this is terrifying. But an abortion clinic in Texas now says that they have killed 67 unborn babies in 17 hours. I mean, this is unspeakable horror, ladies and gentlemen. Unspeakable horror on American soil. Now, this is coming from the Daily Mail. The name of the abortion mill, The Whole Woman's Health, it's in Fort Worth, Texas. According to the Daily Mail, they have performed 67 abortions in just 17 hours. They describe a frantic scene as dozens of women congregated in a last-ditch effort to get an abortion. This is now the strictest abortion law in the nation. And it went into effect at midnight. Now, I want to ask you a question here, because for me, life is the issue. I mean, if we cannot get that one thing right in this country, how can we possibly get anything else right? If we can agree as a society that life begins at conception, which is what the Bible teaches us, I think we've all grown up with that belief, Judeo-Christian teaching, going all the way back to the Old Testament, that they say God knew us as he was knitting us together in the womb, that God knew us. That implies that there is something there to know. And here you have a nation that affirms that we are one nation under God, and yet we're slaughtering millions and millions of babies. So this is what troubles me, is that there are many out there who are calling the mothers in these instances victims. But are they victims? I mean, you are making a concerted effort. You are making a choice. You people out there who believe in the pro-choice movement, the choice, you've got to talk about what that choice is. Nobody likes to talk about the choice, but it's a choice that you make. You either let your baby live or you let your baby die. You kill your baby. And I contend that what's happening is murder. This is murder. That is my estimation about what's happening in Texas right now. You've got women lining up, waiting to kill their babies. This is the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. It is an ugly, ugly place to be right now. And it has been since Roe v. Wade became the law of the land. And we have to hope and pray that one day, we will be a nation that protects the unborn. And until that day comes, you do have to wonder. We've had a lot of callers on this radio program over the past couple of years now suggest that maybe, just maybe, God has turned away from us because of what we have done. And I don't know. You do wonder. I mean, how long will God continue to bless a nation that kills babies? How long? Good Lord, it sounds like This whole women's health clinic in Fort Worth, Texas, 67 babies were killed in just 17 hours. That sounds like Chicago on a weekend night. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This story out of Texas, by the way, the CEO of a gaming company got himself canceled. Now, they say he resigned, but he actually was resigned. The guy owns a part of a company called Tripwire Interactive. They're based in Georgia, and they do these video games. John Gibson is the guy's name. Mr. Gibson was the CEO of the company, and when word came down of the Supreme Court's decision, Mr. Gibson wrote on Twitter the following words that led to his removal from the company. He says, "I'm proud of the U.S. Supreme Court affirming the Texas law banning abortion for babies with a heartbeat. As an entertainer, I don't get political often, yet with so many vocal peers on the other side of this issue, I felt it was important to go on the record as a pro-life game developer." Well, all you know what broke loose, and the cancel culture mob descended on this guy, and now he's out of a job. Tripwire Interactive says the comments given by John Gibson are of his own opinion, do not reflect those of Tripwire Interactive as a company. His comments disregarded the values of our whole team, our partners, and much of our broader community. Our leadership team at Tripwire are deeply concerned, are deeply sorry, and are unified in our commitment to take swift action and to foster a more positive environment. Effective immediately, John Gibson has stepped down as CEO. In other words, he got fired, is what that is. Can you imagine that? The guy was fired for being pro-life. John Gibson. All right, got to take a break here, folks. Hang tight if you're on the phones, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Our website again, toddstearns.com. We'll be right back. Is it already time to do Christmas shopping? You know, Grace Baker, I was out doing some errands over the weekend. I was laboring on Labor Day.
Laboring on Labor Day?
Yes. And so anyway, I was out and about gallivanting around, and people are already starting to put up some Christmas stuff.
Which is crazy, right?
It's bizarre.
I mean, it's bizarre. Weird when you see the jack-o'-lanterns and, you know, the Christmas ornaments together.
Well, I was going to tell people now is a perfect time, if you're going to do that, to get over to the ToddStearns.com store and buy some nice conservative stocking stuffers.
True.
Like the Daily Biscuit book and maybe a Blessed Not Bitter coffee mug.
I mean, it's never too early.
But anyway, I'm driving around, and I'm at the Chick-fil-A. I wanted to go to my regular Chick-fil-A, the one where they already know what my order is when I pull up. You know, that one in Germantown.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a big sign that says Chick-fil-A is now going to close at 9 o'clock at night. And I thought, well, what's going on? I mean, normally they're closed on Sundays to go to church.
That's normal.
Nobody goes to church at 9 o'clock.
No.
They can't find enough people to work.
That's just sad.
That's pathetic is what that is.
Exactly.
Anyway, so all that to say, go buy something at the store. And if you're going to go to Chick-fil-A, get there before 9 o'clock.
Yeah, you better get there early.
Hey, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I am excited about this. Jamie Allman, one of the legendary talk radio hosts in all of America, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Jamie, good to have you with us today.
Oh, my goodness. You mean it's called the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line? That just happens to be the name of my station.
That's right. Now that host, you're, I mean, well, folks, first of all, Jamie Allman, the number one talk radio host in all of St. Louis, just right up the river from us, and on an incredible station, 104.9 FM, The Patriot. Jamie, how's it been going?
It's been going great, man. 3 weeks into it, and just back on the air. I'm really happy to be back on the air. There's so much going on. I was laboring on Monday, too, Todd, because, listen, there's so much going on that no radio host on the planet should be off that day, as far as I'm concerned. It is, after all, Labor Day. Hey, by the way, I want to ask you, you went to Chick-fil-A? So, has Chick-fil-A ever run out of chicken?
Not here in the South.
Okay, so how does a hospital run out of ICU beds?
Well, that's a great question.
It is. I mean, that's all you do. You're a hospital. How do you run out of ICU beds?
It's, you know, it's interesting, Jamie. Here in Memphis, we were being told that all the hospitals were filled to overflowing, when in fact, we knew for a fact they were not. And it's just part of this narrative, you know, the media is trying to shove down our throats that we're on the verge of some sort of an apocalypse. I think we lost Jamie. All right, well, we'll try to get him back. I'm not sure what happened there, but we had a good phone line, so we'll try to get Jamie Allman back. You know, I've known Jamie for, gosh, going back 15 years or so, when we used to do hits together at Fox News Radio. And a good guy, one of the good guys in radio, and the man doesn't mind speaking his mind, which is what I really appreciate. But we'll try to get Jamie back on. Some sort of a very bad phone connection there, and we'll try to figure that out. Let's go to the phones meantime, 901-260-5926, Statesville, North Carolina. Patricia, hanging out with us on WSIC. Hi, Patricia, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. Thank you so much for taking my call. Just listening to you talk about the 67, I believe you said, abortions, and they were, it's just heartbreaking to hear it. But, and I am totally, anybody that takes human life, it's murder. I don't care what we call it or choice or whatever. But something that it just, I think about it almost every day, that no one ever mentions the fact that women, we gave them a choice. And it was called contraceptives way back when Loretta Lynn sung about it, or even before that. They have a choice. I don't know. I mean, they may be too drunk, too drugged up, just thinking of their own selfish desires. But they had a choice. And just because they don't do that and they want us to pay for what they desire to do is just so, so wrong.
Patricia, yeah, Bette Midler, not a big fan of hers, but she said something, and she did not mean it this way, but she said that what needs to happen is there needs to be a sex strike in Texas. In other words, women should not have sex with anybody until they overturn the abortion law. Patricia, I got to tell you, I agree with that. Wait until marriage. Wait until the way God intended for all of this to go down, and then you would eliminate all of these problems.
That's right. There would be a lot of things eliminated. And as far as Newsom and his lover, I'm sure he's going to be plastered all over the magazines in the grocery store, and every time I go by, if nobody's watching, I turn them over. To me, that's child abuse, and I don't guess he believes the Bible or realizes that there were two whole cities that were destroyed because of his shenanigans.
Oh, Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. It's look, I think we're doing stuff in this country that would make the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah blush, to be perfectly honest with you, Patricia.
Absolutely.
Just going to say. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate you hanging out with us. The voice is scraggly today. I don't understand this, Grace. It's got a little bit of a rattle to it, a rasp.
Were you yelling at the TV all weekend over these football games?
No, not really.
Because your Tennessee Volunteers played Thursday, so you've had a few days to recover.
I have indeed. So I'm not sure. It may be just the weather. I don't know.
Might be.
But it was a little. I was on every Tuesday morning. I do a hit with WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia. Bill Main, the morning show host there, does a great job. And I could barely talk this morning.
Man, sounded like some hot tea.
Sounded like I had just gotten out of rolled out of bed. So.
It's okay. I'd say it's a Monday, but it's really a Tuesday, so I don't know how to help you there.
It does seem like it. Maybe that's it.
It feels like a Monday for a lot of people this week.
Maybe that's what it possibly is. So anyway, folks, I want to go back to this Texas thing here. God bless Texas, and God bless the Republicans there for standing up and defending the unborn. And shame on all of you Republicans out there, Senator Bill Cassidy. You folks listening to us on KROF in Lafayette, Louisiana, you've got to be ashamed of the senator you have saying that, yeah, this is not a big deal. That's Supreme Court. They'll overturn it. It's not good. Yeah, this is not going to be a law in the books terribly long. It's not going to happen. All I can tell you is God bless Texas. And if only other Republicans around the nation had as much courage as the conservatives down in Texas do. God bless you all. Hey, I want to go back to something on this mask situation. It's very exciting to see young people starting to stand up and thumb their nose at the government. This happened at a Colorado high school over the weekend where the kids said, you know what? We're tired of this nonsense. We're walking out. Cut number two.
Clearly, Tri-County Health's decision to once again require students to wear masks is not sitting well with Douglas County.
And now students are getting involved. And Denver 7's Gary Brode heard what students at Thunder Ridge High School had to say.
Douglas County Schools tells me they will follow the order recently issued by Tri-County Health Department that all students and staff from preschool up to 12th grade wear masks indoors. Students over here at Thunder Ridge High School hope they reconsider.
It was a morning of protests for a few schools in Douglas County,
USA,
calling for an end to the mask mandate.
No more masks! No more masks!
Some of the loudest voices were heard at Thunder Ridge High School.
These people agree with me. They hate masks, and I do too.
Students walked out of class around 9:30 Wednesday morning demanding an end to masks in class.
No masks!
Because I believe that masks, they've been going for almost 2 years now. This is going to be the third year of my high school career that's compromised. I want a normal high school career. If you are scared, you can stay home.
Thunder Ridge High School students were joined by Ranch View Middle School students and their parents.
There's enough parents, there's enough data, there's enough scientific data to show otherwise, that this is just not a necessary option that they have to take. And there's enough students that also feel the same way.
Around the same time, students at Legend High School took to the streets as kids on the back of pickup trucks held anti-mask signs. The Douglas County School District tells us they continue to balance the challenges of the ongoing COVID pandemic, saying that we will work with our families and staff members who cannot tolerate a mask due to medical or mental health reasons. Our goal is to keep our students and staff in the classroom for in-person learning.
We reached out to Tri-County Health Department. They tell us we understand that some parents and students are frustrated and disagree with the mask requirement, but masks provide protection and prevent the spread of disease, which allows students to remain in school where they learn best.
Now, I don't know about you, but that is somewhat encouraging. I will say this. We need to learn from what's been happening down in Australia, down under, where the Australians, over a period of, what, almost 2 years now, have slowly given over their civil liberties to the government. They woke up the other day, and guess what happened? The government is not giving those civil liberties back. And so now you have a situation where the government and the police are literally rounding up citizens and they're putting them into containment camps. Not only that, they're forcing all of the Australian people to develop a, this is a fascinating story. So they've got an app that citizens are forced to download, and it requires facial recognition as well as geolocation. So here's how it basically works. You've got to download the app, you got to snap a picture of your face, and you've got to keep your phone on at all times. And so then what happens, the Australian government will literally test you at random times. You'll have 15 minutes to take a picture of your face in the location where you're supposed to be. And if you are not where you're supposed to be, the police will show up and take you away. This is what's happening in Australia right now. So when I hear about young people in Colorado standing up and walking out of class, I say this ought to be happening at every school in America right now. If we do not take a stand and protect our civil liberties, we will end up just like the Australians. You mark my words on this, folks. They're already getting ready for another variant coming down the pike here, and they will try to shut us down. Now, the question is, what are we going to do about it? Will you allow your child to be masked at school? Look, the better option, in my estimation, to save America is to homeschool your kids, get them out of the public schools. But what do you do? 901-260-5926, our website, toddstarns.com. We'll be right back, America.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
So the Taliban just announced their new government, 33 cabinet members in all, one of whom happens to be on the FBI's most wanted list. That's the interior minister. By the way, no women or gays among the cabinet there. But they're killing babies. They're killing babies in Texas. Well, not anymore. They're not killing babies in Texas. Mm-mm-mm. My goodness. All right, let's go to the phones. 901-260-5926. Our good friend Connor in Boston, our favorite millennial. Connor, what's going on?
Well, I'll tell you. You know, I don't know if President Biden has already set up his first meeting with his official government over there, but I'm sure that's down the pike that they already have a cabinet set up.
Well, maybe, just maybe, they could Biden could go over there and he could pull a citizen's arrest of the interior minister. I don't know. There might be a little bit of reward money at stake.
Or he just goes over there. We just hold on to his passport, just don't let him back in. I kind of like that idea.
I like that idea.
But I'll tell you, you know, Todd, when it comes down to the COVID, the whole COVID pandemic, you know, I just feel like we've gotten to a point where it's just so politicized and so out of control. The Democrats want to get it, so they want to literally scare the living hell out of the general public. Case in point, you have Janice down in New Orleans. Now, I've been talking on this program for a while, and she used to call and she was as conservative as can be, and now she literally has the living hell scared out of her by the COVID variant. You know, we need to get back to our lives. We need to understand that this is not going away. I mean, it's a part of our lives now. We just have to move on and live with it. The Democrats are using this as a point to stay in power, as a political issue, and you are dead on when you say they want to shut us down again. Because if they shut us down, who are we going to go to? Oh, yeah, the government to take care of us.
Well, this, and again, I think a lot of this is directed at the 2022 midterms, where they don't want people going to the polls. They want people mailing in the ballots. And that's already happening in California, where there are massive concerns about voter fraud in this recall election. And, Connor, I think this could be the bellwether if Gavin Newsom is allowed to remain in power out there. That tells me that we've got a lot of work to do to secure the ballot in 2022.
And, you know, mail-in ballots, you know, it's like fraud could never happen there. You know, it's not like it happened in 2020, you know. Unbelievable, these people. But it's like there's nobody who is really authenticating who's sending out these ballots, who's receiving them, how many ballots are going to each address. And they expect us to trust that? No. There needs to be serious voter reform in this country. And until we get to that point, there's probably going to be another 2020 all over again.
Connor, I'm curious. There in your community where you live, are people masking up or are they just going on with their lives as normal?
So it depends. The people I hang out with, you know, if you want to wear a mask, if you're comfortable, that's fine. But it's like if you're going into downtown Boston, I mean, you'll see somebody drive around in their car. They're the only person in there, and they'll have two masks on, and like the thick ones too. It's like it's a very big thing here, but. You know, it just comes down to common sense. It's like, if you honestly understand science, it's like, you know, if you're in your car, you don't have to wear your mask. But it's big here, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, here in Tennessee, by and large, people are just going on living their lives. But I will say this, if it is a liberal, if it's a business owned by liberals, they will make you wear a mask. And I know specifically there's a favorite bookstore I used to love to go to. I don't go in there anymore. But they're making everybody wear the mask, and they never stopped. You know, that's just how they are.
Well, I'll tell you, when I go into any businesses that require me to wear my mask, I whip out my Trump mask. It says, Trump won, Biden lost, get over it.
So, I love it.
It's compliant.
Indeed it is. All right, Connor. Good hearing from you. And be safe out there. Connor from Boston. By the way, Rutgers University. Did you hear about this story? So there's a guy by the name of Logan Holler. He is a student there. And I guess he's been doing the virtual classes where you're going to college and you don't actually show up for class. It's a Zoom type thing. So anyway, he got banned from attending virtual class because he's unvaccinated. So understand, this guy's in the privacy of his own home. He's paying good money for the university to get an education.
and the university turns around and says, you're unvaccinated, therefore you cannot attend virtual class anymore. These people are morons. We have literally lost the country. These people are morons. I mean, clearly they thought maybe this guy, I don't know, was going to infect the other computers with a virus. Who knows? All right, look, coming up after the break here, we're going to check in with our good friend Senator Bill Hagerty. He's going to drop by. And also we're going to be talking to Corey Mills. He and his team have been trying to rescue Americans trapped in Afghanistan, and we're going to get the very latest from him. All the while, the State Department says, hey, it's not our fault because there's no way that we can rescue people because the military's not there anymore. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right, folks. Hello. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes radio program. Good to have you with us today. And a lot going on this hour of the program. By the way, our website, toddstarnes.com, a great opportunity for you to head over right now and get yourself a copy of the podcast. It comes out every single day, along with our free newsletter, which normally goes out just moments after the radio program. So you want to go ahead and sign up for that if you have not already done so. There is a lot of concern, growing concern, out of Afghanistan as we await the news of the Americans who are still trapped behind enemy lines. Now, the State Department is all over the place here. First of all, they don't even know how many people are over there. But beyond that, now they're trying to take credit for some of the rescues that are being waged and carried out by brave American patriots and private teams of military veterans. Now, one of the individuals helping out in all of this is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Corey Mills joins us. And, Corey, I know there's a lot you can't tell us about where you are and what you're doing, so maybe we can talk in general terms. But first, welcome to the show and tell us what's happening.
Well, I really appreciate you having me. Thank you so much. I apologize for any of the delays that we may have. Obviously, the area that I'm in right now, we don't have the best data and phone system, so I apologize for any delays in advance.
Now, Corey, can you tell us where you are, or you're just overseas right now?
I'm just overseas right now. The only reason I'd like to not disclose exactly where that's at is because we have ongoing operations right now to try and help get out a couple of other Americans. So I don't want to compromise that operation. I certainly don't want to alert anyone's exactly where we're at, so they can try and support any of our efforts.
So, Corey, I know that your team has been very involved in helping to rescue Americans. What sort of help are you getting, if any, from the State Department?
Well, when it comes to the actual area that I'm operating in, we did get a little bit of help towards the very end, but from a consular service perspective. That was about it. I mean, when it comes to the actual ground movement operations, when it comes to safe houses, when it comes to trying to get manifests or looking at intel and trying to look at border crossings, Taliban negotiations, these types of things are being 100% done by our team.
Now, there was one family, I understand, that you guys were trying to help. Were they able to escape out of country?
Yes. Yeah, so we actually have actually conducted and successfully completed the very first overland evacuation of American personnel since the fall of Afghanistan. That was told to us directly by some U.S. government personnel here in the country that I'm in. I was able to actually go over and get this family and bring them back across that border. Again, you know, my biggest heartache right now is that the U.S. government wants to take credit for this operation, having very little to have actually done with it. And meanwhile, the reason that we're over here to begin with is because all the missteps in the beginning by the Department of State and Department of Defense with regards to how we actually withdrew, you know, not looking at the, you know, kind of a metric-based, you know, conditions-based agreement that President Trump had put in place, but looking at political optics and instead trying to then further that, you know, misstep by lying about them leaving Americans behind, saying that it was only, you know, a handful and many of those who wanted to get out, get out. And it's just total falsity. I mean, I had a mother and her children banging on the gates outside in H-Kaya trying to get in, waving their blue passports and being completely rejected. I had the State Department, you know, with regards to Task Force Afghanistan, that Congressman Mullins is trying to call repetitively that I sat and listened to try and get assistance for this family to get into H-Kaya to be able to fly out. We had our own aircraft that we are at 9,000 feet above the actual tarmac. We had wheels down in landing configuration with a full approved PPR, which is issued by the tower for our landing time, a full FAA flyover approval. We had 25 seats for 25 Americans that we already designated and had meet at a certain area that we then stashed in a safe house, and we were denied entry into H-Kaya to land to get these Americans out. There was multiple attempts made that prevented Americans from getting out.
I know that that Congressman Ronnie Jackson and also Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen out of Oklahoma, they're saying it's a flat-out lie what the State Department is alleging they did. And again, overstating, exaggerating their involvement in all of this. Corey, I'm curious, can you describe conditions there? What is it like in Afghanistan?
Well, I can tell you right now, Ronnie Jackson and Mark Lane Mullen are just great patriots. One of the reasons that we came over here is because both of these individuals, one had received a tag from the Oklahoma National Guard, and Congressman Jackson, these are four of his constituents. So when I received their passports and we were putting together our original plan and strategy to be able to get these Americans out, it was, as I said, to fly in and actually be able to physically remove these individuals in a safe and effective manner. That was obviously thwarted, and even to the extent where they had an F-16 that you know, tried to fly, do a flyover really quick across our aircraft, he was a November tail number in the end, which is stating as an American aircraft. They were told that if we land, the pilot would get his AOC and his license revoked. We had to have General Milley's approval to even do this, even though we'd already been approved. It's just there's multiple attempts. I mean, we did ground operations to be able to move this family to get them to Bazar Sharif. You're talking about a 13-hour ground movement. You put into our safe houses that were there, had them manifested on another plane, and then, believe it or not, 30 minutes before these Americans were getting ready to board the plane, where the Taliban had approved, where the State Department had approved, where the Department of Defense was approved, they were getting ready to board this aircraft to go to Doha. The State Department disapproved this flight, and their reasoning was, quote-unquote, to vet the manifest. Well, I'll tell you what, if they were sitting on the ground in Mazar-e Sharif, the Taliban locking down, with the fact that they were getting ready to kick off the big offensive against the Northern Alliance, with the fact that, you know, the mullah there, which is named Hamza, had only approved this one time to get this flight out because they weren't actually working in coordination. The Taliban wasn't working in coordination with the U.S. government. And I've got an actual recording from one of the Taliban commanders who said, we don't have an agreement or condition that we have to. Why would we prioritize an American over any other life? So my whole thing is there's just going to continue to be lie after lie after lie, cover up after cover up. Then when you have a successful operation like ours, which is the first one of its kind, they want to step in and claim the victory.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, a true patriot, folks, Corey Mills. He is a decorated U.S. Army combat veteran, recipient of the Bronze Star. Corey, I know a lot of our listeners are just fascinated by the story here, but I'm curious about how you ended up over there in the first place. What was that procedure like? Did someone reach out to you, or was this something you just got a bunch of guys together and said, hey, we've got to do something here?
Well, bottom line is that myself, as well as for other, you know, gentlemen, we're all, you know, former special operations. We swore an oath a long time ago. And just because you take that uniform off doesn't mean that it expires. You know, we understood there was Americans in trouble. We understood what was happening. And we predicted a lot of this. A lot of us knew that this whole September withdrawal idea was nothing more than political optics. And that's now actually turned around in the opposite direction because we've been able to Taliban, ISIS, and other terrorist organizations to utilize that as a piece of propaganda to show that America is not strong any longer. But basically what we did was that we had received these this information from Congressman Jackson, Congressman Buckley Bowen, and he devised a plan to be able to get in there, fly in, supported by private funds who, you know, and also our personal money, getting all the necessary approvals, things like that, and we had put together an entire strategy on how to safely get in there, effectively support the U.S. government in these evacuations, and essentially create our own digital Dunkirk, if you will, you know, gather up every boat, gather up every ship. And, you know, when we got over there, it just didn't seem that we were getting any of the cooperation or coordination by the U.S. government to try and support our efforts as we were trying to support theirs.
Well, Corey, we're going to have to leave it there. God bless you. And, man, we just are so honored to have you with us. And congratulations on getting that mom and her kids to safety. And let's hope that there are many, many other great news stories like that coming out of Afghanistan. God bless you very much.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time.
All right, that's Corey Mills, ladies and gentlemen. And we could not explain a lot about where he is right now, but you can pretty much guess. And we want to do our part in getting the news out there, but also we don't want to jeopardize other missions these guys may be involved in. But Corey and his fellow military veterans were able to rescue an American mom and her three children. They were able to get her in a land across Afghanistan in a land rescue. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Honored to have you with us today. Have you heard about the kerfuffle over at Texas University? You know, they got a theme song, a school fight song. Is it the Eyes of Texas? Yeah, the Eyes of Texas. I mean, it's a fine enough song. Me, I'm partial to Rocky Top. Now, that is a school fight song right there. And the band does a mighty fine job of playing that at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. Anyway, UT Austin, big trouble over there. Apparently, some of the woke children say that the school fight song, The Eyes of Texas, that is the alma mater song, is racist. And they have filed a federal civil rights complaint accusing the school of creating a hostile environment for black students by continuing to play The Eyes of Texas. Now, here's the problem. I went through the song. I thought, my goodness. I mean, Grace Baker, what is in this song that, I mean, are they threatening people?
I know. Is it like violent or something?
I mean, you know, your mind goes
sure.
A million different ways when you hear this.
Jumps to conclusions.
So here's when it became a problem. They've been playing this song since the 1900s, Grace Baker, but
uh-oh,
only over the past 2 years it has now become a problem.
Of course.
So no children were triggered until the past 2 years.
Of course.
According to Fox News, the song became a problem because it was performed in the 1900s by musicians wearing blackface.
Oh, there it is.
So that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
but the song itself doesn't have any bad lyrics.
No bad lyrics. They're not talking. They're not dropping the N-word. It's not a rap song.
Oh, gosh.
You know, because keep in mind, certain people and musicians are allowed to use that sort of language. That is permissible. Other people are not. Personally, I don't think anybody ought to be using that.
Agreed.
Those kinds of words. But there is no N-word in the eyes of Texas.
Or threatening violence.
No threatening violence. No mention of Jim Crow. No mention of slavery that I know of. So at one point during the last year's football season, the band refused to play it. So I got to be honest with you. If I had been at the university, I would have politely told the children that they will either play the song or we're going to, you know, toot their horns where the sun don't shine.
There you go. And take away their scholarship.
Take away their scholarship. Fine. You don't want to play the song? No problem. Turn in your piccolo and you're out of here, pal.
Don't forget the triangle.
Do they play that in the marching band, the piccolo?
Producer Kyle's nodding yes.
I'm not sure. I don't. What is it? The Watusi is a dance. That's not. It's the bassoon.
Gosh.
The bassoon.
Stick to politics, Todd, not music.
No, it's the bassoon. It's that great shampoo, too. Vidal Bass. No, that's Sassoon. My apologies.
I think you're getting a few things confused with each other.
It's my Monday, but it's really Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is really all about.
That's the culprit.
So the head football coach, new guy in town, Sarkisian is his name, Steve. And he says, hey, look, I don't have a problem with the song. It says, you know, it's the school song. We're going to sing that song, and we're going to sing it proudly. Loud and proud.
I mean, it's the school song.
So this is terrible. So this past spring, the UT Austin School of Music announced the creation of a new band which students would not be required to play the song. You know, why are they coddling these children? Friday's complaint says the university failed to respond to racial harassment against students who opposed the song. They said it violates Title VI of the Civil Rights Act and argued the creation of a separate marching band violated equal protections afforded under the 4th. Okay, can I just say something? I thought the whole point of this was everybody wanted to be segregated again. The blacks are out there on these campuses saying, we want our own dorms, we want our own safe spaces, we want our own cafeterias. And now they're turning around and they're getting their own band, but now it's a problem because they did not come up with it.
I just can't keep up with these kids' logic.
Is it wrong to say, the hell with all of you? Is that wrong to say? That could be wrong to say.
Going to get us in trouble, Todd. Tell me the start of the week.
I just offended these little woke. We have some new lurkers now. They're woke Generation Z Christian college students. And I got to tell you, I'd rather deal with the atheists. They're much more friendly. I'm just saying. Some of you, I don't know what's going on at church youth group, but they're turning out some woke kids big time. So anyway, the president of the university chapter of the NAACP says that they're very upset. Quote, as black students, we kind of feel as if it's not like our voices are heard. The main objective of the administration and the campus is just to appease the wealthy donors so they can continue to get funding. You know what? Here's a thought. Let's go ahead and just kill the song. Just kill the song. And then let's let all the donors take their money away. Let's see what the NAACP does then. All right, 901-260-5926. Folks, this would not happen at Rocky Top. I'm just saying. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Wow, I was just checking out some of the images coming out of Brazil. We're talking about tens of thousands of people. It's like a Trump rally times five. People coming out and hearing from our friend Jason Miller and the crew over at CPAC Brazil. What an amazing sight there as people gather together to be free. That's what it's all about. All right, want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always an honor to have with us from the great state of Tennessee, Senator Bill Hagerty. Senator, good to have you back with us.
Todd, it's great to be with you, too. Thank you.
Senator, I want to play some audio for you. This is the befuddled Secretary of State, Antony Blinken. That's Antony without the H. Cut number one, please.
Without personnel on the ground, we can't verify the accuracy of manifests, the identities of passengers, flight plans, or aviation security protocols. So this is a challenge.
Senator, that is the Secretary of State now acknowledging they screwed up by pulling the military out of Afghanistan.
Sure. It's a self-inflicted challenge. You know that, Todd. This has just been so painful to watch.
Senator, when you see these reports on the news, there are so many Americans still trapped over there. Nobody seems to have any clear indication of what's going on. What are you hearing?
My staff have been working, Todd, through the weekend for the past several weeks, doing everything we can to get Americans out. But what happened was the Biden administration used the calendar rather than conditions on the ground to drive their entire strategy. I was just over in the United Kingdom and visiting with our allies in NATO. I just got back this weekend from that trip, and they are extremely upset about this. They said to me, look, calendar-driven, not conditions-driven, means that you're doing this for domestic political purposes, that Biden wanted to celebrate the 20th anniversary of 9/11 by being the president that brought our troops home, but he brought our troops home while leaving other Americans, leaving our allies behind enemy lines. And this is absolutely just beyond comprehension for our allies who have been there fighting alongside us for 20 years to be left there in the lurch because Biden wants to have a press release. It's shameful. I'm beyond disturbed.
Well, it is. And we just had a gentleman on, a military veteran. He was leading a team of other military veterans into Afghanistan. They were able to rescue a mom and her three children. Corey Mills is his name. And my understanding is there are others that are doing, carrying out these similar missions. I think it's a shameful, though, that we have to rely on private citizens as opposed to the government stepping up and saying, we're going to get these people out of there.
Yes. We're going to have Secretary Blinken in front of my committee on Tuesday. I serve on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And this is going to be the opportunity for accountability and oversight of the State Department and what has transpired here. But to leave us in a situation that you describe where our military are gone, yet Americans are trapped behind enemy lines, is something that none of us ever would have anticipated. And frankly, it's something none of our allies ever anticipated either, because they've been left in the same position. And, they have found themselves dependent on, the American posture there in Afghanistan. And when we took the decision to withdraw unilaterally, we left them in a place where they couldn't get their own citizens out. They couldn't get their allies out, people that had helped them. So, again, they are frustrated beyond belief. They also are more concerned than I think we are here yet, but I think we should be. They're concerned about what's going to come from the vacuum that's been created in Afghanistan, because we've delivered a huge propaganda victory to the Taliban. They're celebrating that, along with their allies like ISIS-K, Al-Qaeda. Jihadists from all over the world are going to be flowing into Afghanistan. They're going to celebrate this, quote, victory that has been accomplished at the expense of the United States. It's emboldening them, and it's going to make them even more of a threat, certainly in the region, to our allies in Europe, but eventually here to us in the United States. And when I was in the UK and at NATO, they were telling me, look, we see the threat because we are geographically more proximate to it. And not only have we emboldened the jihadists, but we've armed them. We left behind billions of dollars of some of the most sophisticated military equipment in the world. They can now arm themselves with that. Whatever they don't use may become available in what would become the largest arms bazaar in the world, where our adversaries could come from anywhere they'd like and put their hands on the latest military equipment from the United States, reverse engineer it, modify it in ways that can be used to harm us. And they are extraordinarily concerned about the threat on their own soil. But I can tell you, Todd, look at our southern border. We've got a complete national security disaster right there. We don't have control over our southern border. The mantra in our cities has been defund the police. The Biden administration, when they put forward their new budget, they've plussed up everything except Department of Homeland Security and the DOD. They've actually defunded them on real terms. So you think about the messages that we're sending from the United States. It's open season on us as well. So there's a huge concern that we feel or that we should feel, and our allies certainly do feel.
Well, they certainly do. I was reading a speech last night that was delivered by former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, and even I was really struck by just the bluntness of his message. He says, Islamism, he says, is the first order security threat to the West, and especially this issue of bioterrorism. I mean, our allies get it because they live this literally every single day.
Yes. Yeah, they do. They, as they told me, they're much more proximate to it. There's another thing that they raised with me as well, Todd, and this won't surprise you. But I met with the NATO permanent representatives from what they call our foundation partners there. These are the ones that had the biggest presence on the ground in Afghanistan. That's Turkey, Germany, Italy, the UK, and ourselves. And as I met with their permanent representatives, they expressed to me their grave concern about the humanitarian crisis that's evolving there in Afghanistan. And they said, we're going to have a flood of refugees. The destabilization that's occurred there in Afghanistan with the Taliban now in charge, they anticipate a flood of refugees that will cripple their system. They're trying to get over the pandemic as well. Their economies are not in great shape. They were telling me they don't have the capacity to absorb what they think could be hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Afghans trying to escape that country because of what's happened there in Afghanistan. So they've got a very real concern about the immigration crisis that's going to evolve, the refugee crisis that's going to evolve. They're in the Middle East and in Europe, which they feel they will be much quicker to feel than we will on our end.
I was very puzzled, and I'm curious to get your take on this. The Democrats have been pretty much lockstep with the administration, but really not anymore. I mean, the cracks are beginning to show. Your colleague in the Senate, Richard Blumenthal, the Democrat from Connecticut, says he's furious about the Biden administration's delays in getting Americans out of Afghanistan. Are you hearing that scuttlebutt there on Capitol Hill?
Yes, I think what you're finding here is a bipartisan sense of frustration and disappointment and, frankly, embarrassment as a nation. When we reconvene next week and we have Anthony Blinken in front of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, I expect him to hear the same amount of questions and concerns from both sides of the aisle. This has put America in a posture that we've never been in before. It's an embarrassment to our nation. We have let our allies down. We have left Americans behind enemy lines. And this could evolve, Todd. I pray it doesn't. But this could evolve into the biggest hostage crisis that America has ever seen. I'm not surprised at all, even though the Democrats have held the line with a lot of other bad Biden policies. I think this may be the straw that's broken the camel's back. And with the media, I might add as well, the media have been very generous to the Biden administration. You know, disaster after disaster. You know, he collapses the southern border, they look the other way. He kills their energy independence with the Keystone XL pipeline. They don't even report on it. You know, you look at what's happened with Russia, with Iran, not holding China accountable. He's gotten pretty much a free pass from blunder after blunder. But this one has got the international media involved, and they are not nearly as generous. So I think we're going to continue to hear a lot about this from the media, and it's going to be very hard for the Biden team to change the narrative, as they say, even though you can tell they're trying to do it every day.
And again, we have completely removed ourselves from what, as you so eloquently described, is really Six Flags over jihadi land now. And we don't have boots on the ground, Senator.
Yeah.
That should concern all of us greatly, because we all remember what happened on that day 20 years ago.
Well, I think that's the day 20 years ago is what the Biden administration was clearly focused on. They were focused on having a press release and being able to claim that the Biden administration were the first to bring our troops home on the 20th anniversary. Instead, they've created a disaster beyond comprehension, and they're going to be held accountable for this. It's going to unfold next week in the United States Senate, but I don't think they're going to skate the way they have on
Good.
So many other issues.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Senator, we always appreciate your insight and your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Todd, as always. Great to be with you.
All right, Senator Bill Hagerty from the great state of Tennessee, doing a terrific job for the country, and is really offering a blunt assessment of where we are right now. And my greater concern is we do not have boots on the ground in Afghanistan to keep an eye on these on the Islamic radicals that are rising up. And they want to hit us again, ladies and gentlemen. Look, 9/11 was not a one and done. They want to take us down. They want to destroy Western civilization. They hate everything about who we are as Americans. I mean, that's the reality of it. I know that's hard for a lot of younger Americans to understand because they've been brought up in the Barack Hussein Obama version of the world. We're all just sitting around singing Kumbaya. But that's not the reality of the world we live in. And the senator is absolutely right. We could very well be facing the largest American hostage crisis in history unfolding before our very eyes in Afghanistan. Got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. I got to tell you about our good friend Mike Lindell, who I believe is down in Brazil right now. And I bet he's selling a lot of pillows down there. Mike Lindell, a great American patriot, and he loves this radio program, and he has been so kind to us over the years. And, of course, Mike has some wonderful deals for us. This month, his incredible Giza Dream bed sheets. Folks, best bed sheets in all of America. Mike uses the best cotton in the world called Giza, and he produces some incredible bedding that you are going to love. Folks, the Giza Dream bed sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. They're absolutely unbelievable. Folks, you're going to get 50% off the Giza Dream sheets if you are a listener of the Todd Stearns radio program. That means $49.99. It is a terrific gift, especially for Christmas. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. Now, you might be saying, well, Todd, I don't have a MyPillow. Get a MyPillow. What are you waiting for? Mike's going to give you a great deal on that as well. Also, the mattress toppers and the towel sets, everything there, great discounts, but you have to use the promo code STARNS, MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Grace.
Yes.
You know, I've got to be honest with you. You know, technically it's Monday on the radio show.
True.
And so I'm a little tired. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go home, take a nap, have a leisurely afternoon.
Sure.
And then I get an urgent email just mere moments ago reminding me that I'm supposed to be judging a competition at the Delta State Fair.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal, Todd.
Is it the beauty pageant? I was excited about that.
No, the dessert competition.
Well, that could be the beauty pageant.
It is a beautiful competition.
I mean, the Miss whatever. What do they have? The Miss Delta?
Miss Pecan Pie.
Miss Pecan Pie.
Yep. Maybe you can sneak into the beauty pageant, though. I'm sure that's going on, too.
They may need a volunteer. I'll volunteer to judge that. So.
Oh, I'm sure you would.
Anyway, so thank you. So anyway, folks, I'm heading out after the show. We have a matter of great importance, of national significance. Yours truly has been asked to judge the dessert competition at the Delta State Fair. I guess it's that time of the year when everybody has the big fair. You know, you got the big state fairs, and you have the rides, and you have the fairway with all of the deep-fried food. So what's that, the deep-fried Twinkies? And who is this? I think Iowa. Our good friend Jeff Stein does they have the Iowa State Fair where they do the butter, and they just literally deep fry a stick of butter, and then you eat it. And I'm assuming they have cardiologists on standby. I do not know. But anyway, I am kind of curious to know what you guys are up to with your state fairs. This will be the first state fair I've been to since moving back to the Deep South. And honestly, they don't have state fairs in New York City. I don't know what they're doing, but they don't have the state fairs. But Grace, I don't know, maybe we can... Grace, I'm concerned. I'm not going to eat a stick of deep-fried butter. That is not a dessert that I want to eat.
Anything can be a dessert if you imagine it.
Well, that is true. Like, for example, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. They have the sweet potato casserole.
Ooh.
Now, that could either be a dessert or it could be, you know,
does it have the marshmallows?
Vegetable. This does, they don't do the marshmallows.
Oh, well, that's what makes it a dessert.
No. But they do a crunchy, like, pecan topping.
Ah, yes. But then you add in the marshmallows, too. That's the key.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah, or I prefer, I don't like, I'm not a big fan of marshmallow.
No.
But okay. I do like the whipped cream.
Yes.
Not
you
the
could
whipped,
put that on it.
Not the whipped topping, but the whipped cream.
Yeah. Well, it's just like pizza could be eaten any time of day, right? Dessert can be eaten before a meal. You know. There's
right.
No rules.
Why are we? I don't know why we're about to have this discussion. Do you like your pizza hot or cold?
Hot. It's the way it's meant to be.
No, you see, I disagree.
What?
I think pizza is better cold.
Producer Kyle shaking his head at me. Apparently, have I committed a sin? I think that, you know, it's the way it's meant to be.
No, I'm just saying that when you have pizza, it's always, I mean, you know, normally
it's hot.
No,
order it hot, so you eat it hot.
But then, when you have leftovers, you eat it cold.
You just heat it up again.
No,
the way it's supposed to be. Put it in the oven and let it kind of crisp up a little bit. It's not soggy or anything.
I'm just saying. I can't
eat it cold, but that's just me.
You should try the pizza cold. Now, I would not try a deep dish, which really isn't pizza. It's more like
the pie.
The Chicago, it's sort of like lasagna.
Could that be a dessert? It's
nah,
a pie.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think that's good. I'm just saying. But so, do they want me to judge pizzas?
No.
Dessert.
We were talking about desserts.
You see, I hate to say this. I'm not a big chocolate guy.
Well, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot more than chocolate.
Okay. Maybe some pie. I'm a pie
guy. But hey,
guy.
If any of the competitors are listening, don't do anything chocolate.
So are they allowed to bribe the judges? I'll take a few
allegedly.
Bucks. I just got my tax bill from the city.
Oh, gosh.
So I could probably use a few bucks.
Gosh.
That's all I'm saying. All right. So I will give you an account tomorrow, Grace.
Oh, I want a full detailed account.
I thought you were judging the – I thought you were the judge.
I was, too.
And it was originally going to be the chili competition.
Well, this will be a lot sweeter, much sweeter deal.
I would not have mind. I would not have minded the chili competition.
I like chili.
By the way, secret recipe for chili: grape jelly.
I will have to try that. Cold pizza and grape jelly in your chili.
There you go.
There you go.
It works. Trust me. All right, folks. I got a skedaddle, as they say. Get out there. Have a great day. ToddStearns.com. Don't forget. Get yourself a copy of our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. It makes a terrific Christmas present, and I'm happy to sign a copy for you. Again, ToddStearns.com. Be good, America.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.